people talk. If you don't go to confession, or if you don't take your flower beds, or if you don't pretend that you want nothing more in your life than to serve your husband 3 meals a day and give him children and vacuum under his ass, then, well, you must think I'm stupid to stay with him. Well, I am. I'm weak. I don't love my husband and I lie.
I'm weak, I don't love my husband, and I lie, and I stay with him, but I don't love him. And that's from the movie Chocolat, an absolutely fabulous movie. And are you stuck in a situation? Are you finding yourself unable to be assertive? You feel like you're bullied, you feel like you're under the thumb of somebody, whether it's a parent or whether it's a spouse or whether it's a friend who's very controlling. Friend, that would be a friend in quotes, a frenemy, I think they call them nowadays. How do you disentangle yourself? How do you be true to yourself? How do you have integrity and not have to live a lie, not have to live a double life? I'm Dr. Ellen Kenner, and my show is The Rational Basis of Happiness, and that means that your happiness matters. What is on your mind today that is troubling you, that makes you feel like you're not at peace with yourself? Because that's not a good way to go through life. You can ask me any question that you would ask a counselor or a therapist. My number is toll-free, 1-877-DR-KENNER. So whether that's, again, I'll say that, toll-free, 1-877-DR-KENNER. So whether you're having difficulty with your kids or a spouse or yourself or friends or at work, pick up the phone and give me a call. Again, you can visit my website too, drkenner.com, and the number is toll-free, 1-877-DR-KENNER. And right now, I want to welcome Dave to the show. Dave, you want some help for, a habitual liar?
Yes.
Yeah, what's going on?
Well, I have had some questions, and I'm needing answers based on I sabotage my own life and knowing that I do things wrong and I don't want to.
Okay, are you on a speakerphone?
No.
Oh, okay, because it sounds a little echoey. Okay, so you're saying that you've made a series of choices throughout your life and you've built up a habit to where you've lied? You're the habitual liar?
Yes, that's me.
And what changed that makes you want to turn that around?
I'm running at the end of my marriage and I don't want it to fail.
Okay,
and
yeah.
I'm trying to save it, and I'm realizing I have to change.
So you're owning responsibility for damage done.
Yes, and I'm realizing that it's maybe beyond my ability just to admit it.
Yeah.
And fix it.
So you, the first person you, when you say save your marriage, I would say the more important thing to save is what? Who is the more? Go ahead.
I would say, like, looking at the importance of being a real man myself.
Yes, yes. Fundamentally, the best gift you can privately give yourself, whether anyone knows it or not, is to clean up your home, your integrity, your honesty, you know, to repair yourself so that you can stop this habit or tendency to lie. What is one of your biggest lies in the marriage?
Sexual deviancy.
Okay. And your wife didn't know about it?
Correct.
And does she now know?
Yes, she does.
And what does she say about it? Is she okay with it? I mean, apart from the lie, or does she dislike it intensely, or where is she at?
She's saying we are separated for a time until things can change. And she's looking for real change, and she's holding on to hope.
Do you think she means that?
Oh, yes, absolutely. Her faith is very evident and strong.
So she wants to remain married to you. So what is she requesting that you change? What would be evidence that you said a sexual deviancy? You don't need to go into it. I'm assuming you didn't cross the line into something that would be criminal.
I have, and it's been brought to order.
Okay.
And yes, I have, and it's brought to order, and it's been disclosed, and I am seeking counsel in that area also.
Okay. The
trust has been broken and severely damaged, and now I'm seriously looking at what begun the process was lying from the beginning and getting on track to a real commitment of honesty and purity and truth.
Okay. Are you in counseling yourself? Are you going to see a therapist?
I have a therapist, but the therapist, it seems that it's not... I feel I can manipulate the therapist.
Okay. You know what? One of the things you can do, if you feel you're manipulating the therapist, share that with the therapist. Say, I lied to you yesterday. I omitted some details that were really important. Because you're not doing that for the therapist. I mean, the therapist is only in your life for a short time, right?
Correct.
You're cleaning up your mental habits. And you can tell the therapist, can I develop a signal system to let you know when I'm about to lie or right after I've lied, or, you know, figure out a way to raise your awareness. The first step in change is, well, number one would be motivation, really seeing why you want to change. What is the benefit to you, Dave, of changing and becoming a better person? And you want to see that in all corners of your life, because if you're a habitual liar, that doesn't just usually stop at a marriage. That percolates everywhere. So and so that is the case with you. Does it percolate in work and with friends?
Yes.
Go ahead.
I'm wondering if I've been tested.
Yeah.
And I feel that I can manipulate the testing.
Okay. You know, people who are liars habitually, they learn to keep a poker face. They learn to lie. They learn the types of answers that are expected of them. The only thing is, they're the first victim, because they don't like themselves. They don't like living in their own minds. And so you're looking to change that. Quick question. Have you lied to me for the duration of the time we've been talking?
No, I feel like I'm seriously changing that.
Okay. What does it feel like not to lie?
Unfamiliar.
Unfamiliar. I can tell you're being honest right now, because that is a good term for it, right? It's unfamiliar.
Yeah.
So you want to make that increasingly more familiar. When I take an exercise class, yoga, when they first try to put me into a pretzel or any of the other little, you know, triangles or these weird positions, it feels unfamiliar, very unfamiliar, until I do it a lot of times. And then it becomes more of me, more of my habit. And so any habit change, if you're changing the way you think and you're looking to be more, you can't be more honest, you're looking to level with yourself and with other people, recognize that feeling that you have now when you're leveling with me, or other times when you level. And you can make it a point to decide to be honest and monitor for it, and to know the feeling when you go off track. That is the, besides looking at the benefits, that is the next stage of change, that you want to raise your awareness of when you're messing up. So what I would recommend that you do is to, number one, get a therapist who is trained in dealing with people who lie, because that will serve you better.
Okay.
Or tell your therapist. Maybe he can work with you. And get a therapist who is knowledgeable in the area of, you don't have to tell me what it is, of the sexual deviancy, because there are people who specialize in that, and there are many who don't. The second is to make a note of that feeling you currently have when you're not lying, and see if you can bring that type of feeling into your life more often, making the changes of, this feels good, it feels different, may not feel good yet, but this is the direction I want to go in. And really making an effort to value the one life that really counts, your life. Listen, thank you so much for your call, Dave.
Thank you so much for directing me, helping me.
You're welcome. I'm Dr. Ellen Kenner.
Here's an excerpt from The Selfish Path to Romance, the Serious Romance Guidebook by clinical psychologist Dr. Ellen Kenner and co-author Dr. Edwin Locke.
Observe that people who are chronic sacrifices appear selfless in the sense that they want to gratify everyone else's wishes. Observe that narcissists appear self-centered in the sense that they want everyone to gratify their wishes, but they lack genuine self-esteem, any real sense of themselves or their own worth, and they desperately need other people to relieve them of their doubts. This relief is short-lived because others cannot create the self-esteem they lack, so their desire for reassurance from others is insatiable and unremitting. The most accurate description of such people is not that they are selfless or self-centered, but rather that they are self-doubt-centered.
You can download Chapter 1 for free by going to drkenner.com. And you can buy The Selfish Path to Romance at amazon.com.